Maintaining proper IRS relations. Last but not least, due attention must be paid to the Internal Revenue Service, for they are the lawful, legal entity, duly authorized to collect association dues, income taxes, from 14th Amendment citizens and other persons volunteering and availing themselves of the privileges and immunities regarding non-payment of debts in the system implemented under former House Joint Resolution 192, 12 U.S.C. A. Section 95A, and 15 U.S.C. Ch. 41, I. Section 1602 C. D. E. They, participants, are considered as a debtor, creditor in a social security association, unchartered, unincorporated commune, whereby each person insures everybody else in the association by agreeing never to demand payment for debts. It is, under this volunteer arrangement, that these persons become primarily a U.S. citizen, secondarily a state citizen, a subject to Clause 1 of the 14th Amendment, while the literal 10th Amendment rights are forfeited. Persons under this system have only relative rights to life, liberty, and property. Their natural rights are converted into privileges and immunities and civil rights. As debtors, they have no absolute literal property ownership, for it has thus been converted to mere usership. Plainly put, IRS taxes serve several functions, but principally as dues for the privileges and immunities associated with participating in the Federated Unincorporated Interstate Banking Association for the non-A payment of debts. What's more, the collection of income taxes is crucial to maintaining order within the association, more so than for any proposed funding of the association. But that has no bearing on a properly created and administered express trust. It is well settled that a trust, created by parties not availing themselves of such privileges and immunities, is not illegal even if formed for the purposes of limiting or avoiding taxes altogether. Nor is the express trust subject to federal excise taxes imposed on corporations. Nor is an express trust taxable merely because it possesses all the accessory powers possessed by corporations. Nor can the dignity of its trust instrument be set aside simply because a tax benefit results, whether by design or by accident. Frankly, unless it incurs a tax liability in the United States via a valid forum clause in a contract, membership in the unincorporated banking association, becoming an employer, employee, or worker, or a corporate entity, deriving income from corporate stocks or physical franchises, accepting other privileges and immunities under the 14th Amendment, or availing itself of any other benefits of the public trust invoking the doctrine of reciprocity, it has nothing to do with the IRS. However, as it might stand as a beacon of organizational liberty, the IRS has a reasonable interest in making sure the express trust example does not upset collections and, most important of all, compliance. The IRS, thus, takes every precaution to shoot down trusts of any kind which even hint at having origins lying outside of its jurisdiction, that is, the other property. It is interesting to note that the IRS taxpayer relationship, by operation of law, is that of beneficiary, says to a key trust, to trustee. It is a classic resulting trust. The taxpayer is presumed to be a trustee. Hence he is legally obligated to report and make distributions to the party having a legal right to certain amounts pursuant to the trust bylaws, that is the U.S. tax code. It becomes understandable, then, that the IRS would construe every instance, no matter how rare, of a non-statutory trust condemned in court as being attributable to some purported inherent unlawful nature of non-statutory trusts in general. Hence the classification of abusive trust, though any trust, statutory or non, express or implied, resulting or constructive, which abuses the fundamental principles upon which equity rests is, technically, abusive. Yet, they never speak of them. The reader should therefore be keen to know how to discern good information from dis and misinformation. In the event the IRS takes an action against a purported common law trust or pure trust, aka poor trust, it is generally a lawful action, actually in response to some unlawful activity on the part of the parties or defect in their contractual relations. Your author has never seen an action taken against a properly drawn express trust, that is, one drafted from the perfected language and form of that best legal talent to which the power and superiority of the express trust is attributed. Even in those cases, a thorough analysis of jurisdiction, such as the one treated in the previous section, sheds light on the blatant limitations of the IRS's, and courts in general, jurisdiction. The fact that they manage to establish subject matter jurisdiction and personal in rem jurisdiction attests to the ignorance of the defendants, and indeed, personal jurisdiction usually would never have been obtained without the defendant's unwitting permission. It is no secret that all actions of the IRS are commenced as proceedings in admiralty.